Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. This is Harita from Missouri City, Texas. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Harita Mataji, Danvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Thank you very much, Mataji, for joining the call and your services to Bhakti Sangha. Hare Krishna.
You can start the call. And then you can hand over to me.
Sure, Mataji, 1 second, okay? Okay, today before we start our class, I would like to read Srila Prabhupada's quote. A real Vaishnava will never say that he is superior to anyone. He will say that he is the lowest of the living entities. If he says that he is superior, then actually he is not
okay,
superior.
ma'am.
Letter to Sukhdeva, December 28, 1974. Hare Krishna. So today we are so fortunate to have Her Grace Sri Manjari Leela Mataji on the topic of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verses 1 to 39. Hare Krishna Mataji, Danvat Pranam, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Sri Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Mataji, for giving your very, very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. I now hand over call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Yashomati Mataji, for warmly welcoming everybody. It's my great honor and fortune to introduce Manjari Leela Mataji, who is sitting so humbly in front of all of us. My apologies for not being on camera. I have a lot of technical issues with this computer, so extremely sorry for that. I'm very glad to introduce her. She is a very nice, very, very sincere, very humble Vaishnavi, initiated by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. She serves in several temples in multiple capacities. She serves the deities and all the Vaishnavas in the community. And in Bhakti Sangha, Mataji is engaged in several services like welcoming devotees in the early morning call, giving introduction to speakers. And she has also served as a speaker a couple of times in the past. And we are very, very honored to hear from Manjari Leela Mataji, the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Thank you so much. The duo, Mataji and her mother, they are known to attend each and every class in Bhakti Sangha, and they have profound realizations, which Mataji shares with everybody. So thank you so much, Manjari Leela Mataji. We have heard your classes in the past. They are filled with realizations and they are very shastric. We now hand over the call to you. Please take over and enlighten us on the first few verses or the first half of the 18th chapter. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you, everyone, devotees. Please bless me. I'm going to share my screen. Let me know if you can see my screen.
Yes, Mataji, we can see your screen.
Okay. So thank you again to all the organizers of Bhakti Sangha who have given me this opportunity to speak something on such a transcendental topic, subject matter, Bhagavad Gita. Even though I'm not qualified to speak about this, I'm just making an attempt, a menial attempt, to serve and also to repeat what Srila Prabhupada has taught us. So also for my purification, if there is any mistakes in this endeavor, please forgive me as how a parent would forgive a child when they make mistakes. So I go with that. I will start. Okay, so we'll start off with the invocation prayers. You can all recite with me these prayers. This is to receive the blessings from all of our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, Srimati Radharani, Krishna, and all the Vaishnavas to help us understand this in the proper mode. So, Om Ajnana Vinirandhasya ज्ञानाञ्जन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी श्रीराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. Grace to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so today we are doing chapter 18, but just to summarize the recap of chapter 17, yesterday, Sureshwar Shyam Prabhuji, he gave some different commentaries from our Vaishnava Acharyas, and also he provided the Prabhupada's commentary about how if one is not following the injunctions of the Shastra, which was this first question of Arjuna, then what type of worship are they performing? So then Krishna elaborates on the different modes of worship and then what type of food one likes and dislikes based on the three different modes. And then how one does austerity in these three modes. Also, and how one gives charity in these three modes. So, and then in conclusion, he explained the right spirit, which is above the three modes, for how one should really perform the sacrifice, charity, and austerity. And then understanding that Supreme Lord is a supreme enjoyer of everything, that's how we should perform all of our actions and activities. And then he also explained the words of Om Tat Sat, which indicate the supreme absolute truth, and how all the acts should be performed in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, which is represented by these words, Om Tat Sat. And it indicates Vishnu, you know, who is the Supreme Person. So in the second chapter also, there was the synopsis of the whole Bhagavad Gita, which was described. But it was described in a very, you know, summarized way or very introductory way. And then Krishna elaborated that those points within those chapters afterwards. So this now, this is the last chapter, and this is where Krishna summarizes the entire Bhagavad Gita. It also contains Krishna's most important instructions. So as we have heard, you know, many times when the speakers at the end of the lecture, they summarize and they reiterate the important points from the lecture. So similarly, Krishna is doing the same thing in this chapter. And this is the longest chapter of Bhagavad Gita, so I'll be only doing the first half of the chapter. And then tomorrow, His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji will be doing the last half of the chapter. So with that being said, this chapter starts off with Arjuna's doubt. He's going to ask a question first, and then Krishna will provide his answer. And then also we'll see in the first part who is responsible for the actions. And this is the summary of the karma and jnana yoga. So then this first, in the previous chapters, there's this descriptions of many various yoga systems that we have learned throughout. And in every chapter, Krishna stresses that loving devotional service is the ultimate goal of life. So the first text here, texts 1 through 12, they specifically talk about the freedom from bondage through karma yoga. And this is basically the summary of the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And the gist of this section is that we should be performing our prescribed actions and duties in the mode of renunciation. So this is better than renouncing the action itself. So here Krishna is saying that it is better that we do our duty because, you know, without performing our duties or actions, we can't even maintain our body. So we should do the duties, but in the mood of renunciation. We should not be attached. What this means is we should not be attached to the duty, the doing the duty, or even the attached to the results of those actions. We should instead engage those results in Krishna service. So Arjuna has this doubt where he's asking Krishna to clarify this doubt, right? And in the first text, he's asking, you know, what is the purpose of renunciation, which is tyaga, and the purpose of the renounced order of life, which is called sannyasa. And in this text, he addresses Krishna as Keshi Nishudana. So this indicates, this name of Keshi Nishudana, it indicates that he's the killer of Keshi demon. So Arjuna is expecting Krishna to kill this demon of his doubt. One important thing that really points out to me in this is that if we have any doubts in our spiritual life, you know, we should always seek advice and clarify with the senior Vaishnava acharyas devotees, senior devotees, or our siksha gurus, our diksha guru, if you have access to diksha gurus. So we should kill these demons with the help of the Supreme Lord and the devotees. So Krishna answers the Arjuna first based on what the learned men say, and then what the wise men say. And then he provides his opinion. So he says the sannyas means renunciation, you know, from the learned men. This is what they say, that the renunciation of materially motivated activities is called sannyasa. And what tyaga means is the renunciation of giving up the result of all the activities. So we're not attached to those results when we perform the activity. So, you know, what kind of activities are there? There's two types of activities. So one is called the nitya karma. And what nitya karma is the daily obligatory activities that are prescribed by the scriptures. And the second one is called the kamya karma. And these are the activities for fulfilling a particular personal desire. So some people, you know, may be doing some activity to get some good child or good son, or, you know, they want to be elevated to the higher planets. So these are called the kamya karmas. So in sannyasa, one gives up the kamya karma and he performs nitya karma only, because he's not bounded by any of those kamya karmas. And then in tyaga karma, or in tyaga, this one performs all of the kamya karmas as well as the nitya karmas, but they're not attached to the results, so they're not seeking results. And then this is, you know, Krishna then gives his final opinion from, you know, when we learn about sannyasa and tyaga. He says that there are three kinds of renunciation in the three modes of nature, which it is performed in. But he does stress that, you know, we should never give up the acts of sacrifice, charity, austerity, because what they do is they purify our souls. So we should always perform these types of, you know, activities. So now, how is that done? In 18.6, Krishna says, Etanya pitu karmani sangam tyaktva phalani cha kartavyani ti me partha nishchitam matam uttamam. So translation, it says that all these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of results. They should be performed as a matter of duty, O son of Pritha. That is my final opinion. So, he's pretty much advising Arjuna here that he should fight at his duty as a kshatriya. He should fight without thinking what will be the result, whether he will win, where there'll be victory, or there will be defeat. It doesn't matter. So, again, we perform activities with detachment. When we do this, it purifies our existence and our heart. And we can develop this detachment by understanding that I am not the doer, as Krishna has advised in earlier chapters, right? The person who is foolish, he thinks that he's the doer. But yet the three modes are really doing all the activities, right? So basically, Krishna says that Tyaga and, you know, his final opinion is that Tyaga and Sannyasa are essentially the same because they both equate to some form of renunciation. And then here, Krishna says the Tyaga in three modes from text 7 to 10. He's saying and describing these Tyaga in three modes. So in ignorance, when someone is giving up or renunciating something in Tyaga, you know, in ignorance, this person, he gives up prescribed obligatory duties. So Nitya Karma, he gives up because of the moha or illusion and the lack of spiritual, scriptural knowledge, right? So basically it's, you know, if I'm a mother to someone and I have a family, right? A wife or daughter-in-law. But then out of ignorance, I just say, hey, this is all wrong. I'm just going to give up everything. This is called the tyaga in, you know, in ignorance, because I'm removing and giving up my prescribed duties that Krishna has provided to me. Then in passion, when someone is giving up in passion or the mode of Rajogun, it is basically due to some troublesome that, you know, trouble that they have or some kind of fear, or out of, you know, of bodily discomfort. So they just give up based on the personal, you know, difficulties that they have. And then the Tyaga in mode of goodness. This person, he knows what needs to be done without material association. So Sangam Tyaktva. And he, you know, and the desire for results, phalam cheva, without a sense of doership. So he knows that this is, you know, I have to do this as my duty. I will do this as my duty, but I will not be attached to the results. And he knows that he's not the doer. So this is the person who's giving up in mode of goodness. And, you know, text 11 to 12, Krishna says that the wise renunciant, fixed in goodness, is neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work. So he's indifferent basically to any kind of work, and he has no doubts about the work. Excuse me. And a true renunciant is he who renounces the results of action, for it's impossible for an embodied being to completely give up actions. And then he also, you know, Krishna, he also states that one, you know, if one is not renounced, then he, his actions, the activities that he performs, they will lead to three kinds of results, either ishtam, anishtam, or vishram. So ishtam is the desirable results. So, you know, they do some activity for the purpose of getting elevated to higher planets and to enjoy the heavenly enjoyment, right? And then anishtam. It's basically you're doing activities that are against shastras, and then you will get the undesirable results. And therefore, you will also be suffering in the hellish planets. And then there could be the mixed or mishram. And this is where you'll get the human birth again. So you'll still be in this janma mrityu jara vyadhi cycle of birth and death here. So, but those, you know, these people who are renounced, they don't have such results to suffer or enjoy. So it talks about how, you know, one can never give up any kind of work, right? We should always do our duties and work. So because as I had mentioned earlier, even our bodies, we cannot maintain without any kind of work. So, you know, even many people in ISKCON, we see that they are working even outside of the house, right? And some part of their, you know, their salary or their earnings, they actually use it for temples. So Krishna says, you know, you don't give up work and renounce everything. You're still working, but then you're also dedicating the results of those work to Krishna and the purpose of Krishna. So that is what a true renunciation should be doing. And then, you know, these are the five reasons that Krishna talks about in text 13 to 17. of how person in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't suffer or enjoy any of the reactions of the world. So the Lord, he cites Vedanta philosophy to show how this is possible. And these are the five causes for all of the activities. And for the success in all activity, one should consider these five causes. So here the first one is Adhishtanam. So this refers to the plan of action or the body of the jiva. And then the soul within the body is acting to bring about the result of the activity. And therefore, he's known as Karta or the doer. So the soul is known as the doer. So Karta is the doer of action or the consciousness reflected in the false ego. And then the soul is the knower and the doer, which is stated in Shruti. And then the instruments of the actions are the senses. So the five senses, they're the instruments. They will be the, you know, performing these kinds of actions, right? With the senses. And, but the soul, you know, by the senses, but the soul acts in various ways. Then for each and every action, there is a different endeavor. So all of one's activities, they depend on the will of the super soul, which is seated within everyone's heart as a friend. The Supreme Lord is the super cause. And under these circumstances, a person who's acting in Krishna consciousness, because he's, you know, under the, he's working under the direction of the super soul, which is situated within the heart. Obviously, he's not, you know, bounded by any kind of activity because the doer, you know, would be the soul. So those in complete Krishna consciousness, ultimately, they're not responsible for their actions because everything is dependent on the will of the Supreme, the super soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all of these five factors, they, you know, cause all of the right actions, which are prescribed in the scriptures, and also the wrong actions, which are opposed to scriptures that a man performs by his body, mind, and words. And then just to reiterate what the doership mentality is that one who thinks himself as the only doer of action, not considering any of these five factors, he's, you know, Krishna says this is certainly foolish because this is due to the impure intelligence and he cannot see things as they are. Just like how a blind man, he cannot see things clearly. So, and then the non-doership mentality is where one is not motivated by false ego. And the intelligence of this person is not entangled. And he does so, you know, basically in the case of Arjuna, even though he's killing people, he's not really killing them because he's going to be doing this for Krishna. That's the non-doership mentality. So then now Krishna goes on to elaborating the different types of, you know, activities done in the different modes. So we'll, from text 18 to 39, we'll be describing the different types of activities in the different types of modes. And this particular slide is based on text 18. So here, there's three motivators of action. Jnanam, which is knowledge. Jnayam, which is object of knowledge. And Parijnata, or it's the knower of the action. And then the three constituents of the actions. They're the karma, or the work. Then Karanam, the instruments of work, which are the senses. And then karta, which is the worker or the doer. So action is motivated by the knower, which is the parijnata, who has the knowledge, which is jnanam, of the knowable, the object of knowledge. So person who has the knowledge of what he's, you know, what he's working with, the object of the knowledge. And then activity is motivated by a person perceiving the desirable object or goal. And with this kind of inspiration or the impetus, this doer carries out the work with the senses. So worker and doer is the karta, and the karanam is the instruments of the work or senses, and then the karma or the work that he performs. And, you know, he did describe these modes specifically. Krishna described them earlier in the chapters 14 and 17. So we'll also be just, you know, elaborating on those now. And then there's this knowledge specifically in or jnana in the three modes that Krishna describes in text 19 to 22. On the bottom here is just the three gunas, how, you know, the recap of what each guna looks like. So in sattva guna, it's more of purity, more of goodness. Then rajas is the mode of passion and activity. And then tamas is the ignorance. So in, you know, when we have knowledge in the mode of goodness, the person sees one undivided spiritual nature in all living beings, despite their form. So whether I'm a ant or I'm some kind of a human or anyone, and, you know, any different forms, a living entity, I'll see them as one. So this is the jnan or knowledge in the mode of goodness. When one is in the mode of passion, in this jnan or knowledge, is he sees the different types of living entity in different types of bodies. And then in ignorance, this person in ignorance, his knowledge, he's attached to one kind of work as all in all without knowing the truth. So basically, this is knowledge concerned only with keeping the body comfortable, and that's all. The first one, the sattva guna, is the knowledge of spirit soul beyond this body. And then the rajoguna, or the passion, is the knowledge producing many theories by dint of mundane logic and speculation. This is the product of the rajoguna. Then Krishna talks about the work or karma in the three modes. And these are from text 23 to 25. So in goodness, when we work in the mode of goodness, one is always has regulated habits. He is done with detachment. You know, so all the work he's doing, it is done with detachment. And then there's no like or dislike. So he's indifferent, because we always hear that even liking doing something or disliking something and not doing it is a form of attachment. So, and then person in goodness, he doesn't have any desire for fruitive results. So he's working and doing his duty out of duty, and knowing that I don't, you know, it's not me who's doing this activity. The person who's working in mode of passion, this work is done with great labor and great, you know, he has to endeavor so much for this. And then it is done, this kind of work, person who's passionate, is done seeking to gratify one's desires, and is done with the false ego. The person in ignorance, when work is done in ignorance, or, you know, this karma done in ignorance, it leads to bondage by the yamdutas. It is usually very destructive, and it is either harmful to the self or harmful to the others. They don't consider, you know, any kind of consequences of this action or activity that they're going to be performing. And it's obviously not in conjunction or the, you know, per the scriptures. It is actually against the scriptures. And this is done in illusion or moha. So these are the three different types of work and karma in the three modes. Then Krishna talks about the worker, the person, the karta in the three modes. He's talking about the karta in three modes through 28. So this person who is working in the mode of goodness, he's detached, and he doesn't have any kind of false ego. He has a very strong determination, and he's very enthusiastic. And, you know, he's unwavering in success or failure. So even if there is some kind of failure by his activity, he doesn't get sad or depressed or frustrated. He just stays, you know, as indifferent. and vice versa. When there's some kind of success, he doesn't get very, you know, he's able to handle the success. He doesn't get overly excited or joyous and, you know, all that. And then person who is, you know, opposite to this is the person who's in passion. He's attached to work, and he desires to enjoy. He wants to get something in return by the activity he's doing. He's really greedy, and he's also envious. So, you know, if I'm doing something and someone else is doing the same activity but is better than me, then I will be envious of this person. If, you know, when the worker is in this, if I'm in the mode of this passion. And then obviously it's impure, and you know, they're subject to joy and sorrow. So this is when you have the, you know, you get happy when something good happens by your activities and you get the results that you're desiring, or you'll get sad or frustrated when you get something, you perform an activity and you don't get what you're working for. And then that is the subject to the joy and sorrow. Person in ignorance, he acts against the scriptures, as stated before, right? He, you know, whatever scripture is saying, he doesn't even have the knowledge of scripture, first of all. And he does things that are against what the scripture is saying. Even when you tell this person that, you know, this is not right according to scripture, their intelligence is not able to understand. You know, they're materialistic and whimsical. They're very obstinate. So as I said, even when you tell this person that this is not right and this is not according to Shastra, they will think, you know, who are you to tell me? Who wrote the Shastras? All these kinds of questions will come when they're, you know, in this ignorance. And they have the cheating propensity too. And then they have, you know, they're very expert in insulting others. So as I said, when we say, you know, even Shastra, they'll say, you know, this is the person who wrote the Shastra. So they don't understand the depth and the, you know, importance of, you know, following the Shastras. They're very lazy and they are morose and procrastinating. So they keep on thinking, you know, they know I have to do something, but they'll say, okay, I'm too tired, I'm too sleepy, I'm just gonna do this tomorrow. And they procrastinate on these things. So that is the person who is working in the mode of ignorance. And all these, you know, this is a lot of, all these texts are basically in the, Krishna is describing the different modes of different things. So I'm sorry if this is a little repetition, but, you know, this is basically what are the examples that are provided in Bhagavad Gita. So intelligence now. So there's intelligence or buddhi in three modes. So again, goodness, you know, one, he knows what is to be done and not to be done. And this is according to Shastra. He reads the Shastra and he knows what is right and wrong. And you know, he, one who knows what is to be feared and not to be feared. And one who knows what is binding and liberating. So he knows this is going to be causing me attachment and this is going to be not causing me attachment. And this is liberation. How to work in that spirit of I'm not the doer. And then in passion, one's intelligence or buddhi is, you know, one cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion. So they don't know what is right and wrong. They have some sense or some kind of understanding, but they still cannot differentiate the religion and irreligion. And then the action, you know, they cannot distinguish between the action to be done and the action not to be done. So this is where they're a little confused, right? They're in the stuck in the middle part. Now, whereas completely opposite of that, in you know, on the other spectrum of goodness is the buddhi or intelligence and ignorance. And these people, they consider, you know, the intelligence, their intelligence, they consider irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion. So, you know, it's, for example, if someone says, you know, in Shastra, there's no intoxication, then person would be like in this ignorance, they're like, who knows who wrote those Shastras? You know, why are you telling me that this is, you know, this is right and wrong? It's all about how you feel. And, you know, how, if you're not, you know, doing anything wrong to anyone, you're fine. This is fine, right? So, and they think that, okay, you know, if it's causing me harm, it's causing me harm. Why do you care or something, right? These kinds of people you've seen. I've seen so many of these kinds of people, you know, and honestly speaking, even at one point, you know, I was also this kind of person, thinking, you know, how do you know who wrote these Shastras, right? So it's not, that they, it's a lack of knowledge. So for these people, the Shastras and also Acharyas and, our teachers, they recommend to pray for these kinds of people, instead of trying to, give them the knowledge, because they will get, they will cause more harm and more sin, by speaking against, what we're trying to explain to them. It's like also that, ninth offense in the chanting of the holy name. So, and they take everything in the opposite direction of the truth. So this is why we should always be very careful and just pray for these kinds of souls that, somehow by the, association of with the right people, right, devotees, they can come out of this mode of ignorance. Then, there is the determination or dhriti in the three modes. So this person, determination in person, who's in goodness, this determination is very, it's unbreakable. So they're very convicted of this is what I need to follow, this is what I need to do, and I will do it. And then there is sustained by the yoga practice. And then they, they have the control, they control the activities of the mind, life, and senses. So they're not bounded by their senses. My senses want to, my tongue wants to eat this, let me get this and want, do this. They're not, driven by their senses. Whereas a person in passion, the determination, this in passion, they are desiring fruity results in religion, economic development, and sense gratification. So dharma artha kam moksha, right? Well, without the moksha here. So dharma artha kam. In the association of similar people. So they're again, wanting, they're doing something to get something in return, in anything that they do, right? In dharma, artha, or kam. And then ignorance, determination in ignorance is, they cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, moroseness, and illusion. So, there, these are the types of the determination is like, I want to do this, but they will not make any kind of efforts to really, or act on that mood. They'll be like more of a lazy. They'll be like, I'll do it, as we saw, procrastinate. I'll do it someday. They just feel like I will get this one day, but they're not gonna do anything about it today. And then they have this fear of like, that's fearfulness. They are just thinking that, if they have lots of money, then like, oh my gosh, if I do something, my money's gonna go away or something. Yeah, I'll lose money in this way or something. So they're always in this mode of, very, they just don't want to do anything. And moroseness, it's just like the dull mind, dull determination. And they're very attached to this, the moha. So they're either attached to their money, their family, their children, any kind of thing, their selves, their body. So these would be the determination in, or dhriti in ignorance. Then, this is actually the last section of the text, 36 through 39, where Krishna is describing the happiness or sukham in the three modes. So, in goodness, the sukha or happiness, it brings joy and destroys the sorrow by practice. And in the beginning, it's like poison. So, for example, we want to wake up early and chant. So, in the beginning, you'll be very, your mind, especially in winter, your mind will say, oh, just sleep in, it's okay. We'll do it a little later. But then you're never, then throughout the day, you're just doing japa as like the, for the sake of doing it, right? We're not really focused and attentive japa. Then it's more throughout, like I have to finish my rounds. And then, it becomes nectar at the end. So, I've heard in lectures that after 30 days of any practice, any kind of something you do for 30 days, then it becomes a habit. So we have to build these good habits, right, in the beginning. So even though we don't feel like waking up, if we wake up for 30 days, then naturally your mind, your body will have this cycle of like, okay, I need to wake up. So even if you're, you know, not, I guess, even if you sleep late, let's say, your body will automatically wake up at the time that you've, you know, you've gotten used to waking up for the 30 days. So, and this obviously, when you build the good habits, it's nectar at the end, right? Because this is when we can chant very nicely and with attention. Because even the modes around us, they say that, you know, the Brahma Muhurat is in the transcendental mode, right? And then till 10 a.m. or 9 a.m., either 9 or 10 a.m., I'm sorry if I'm not saying the right exact time, but that's considered in the mode of goodness. And then after, in the middle part, is the mode of passion. So when we chant in the mode of passion times, we're really multitasking. We're doing something and also we're chanting. And then, you know, at the end or the nighttime is the mode of ignorance, where, you know, you're just, you feel sleepy and you're just chanting just to finish your rounds and kind of like napping in between. And then the coming back to this happiness, it arises from purity of intellect, awakens one to self-realization. So that's the people, happiness and mode of goodness. So this, you know, there's this blissful feeling that one feels the happiness in. And then passion. The passion, happiness is, it arises from the contact of the senses with sense object. So let's say, you know, I want to eat some gulab jamun. My tongue wants to eat some gulab jamun. And then I eat the gulab jamun and then I get the happiness, right? So this is the happiness in passion. And for that sake, any kind of sense, you know, you want to touch something or feel something, you want to see something or hear something, all these kinds of things are part of the passion happiness. So you do something because your senses are asking for it, and then you'll find this kind of happiness in the mode of passion. And then this says appears like nectar in the beginning. So for example, I ate the gulab jamun, it appears like nectar in the beginning. I'm so happy. But then I keep on eating. Then I'm going to have eventually develop, you know, some like upset stomach or something, like I'll feel nauseous after some time, right? So in the beginning, it's like, you know, it feels good. But then if you continue doing it, you're going to ruin your health in some way or another. So that's why we should never be driven by the senses. And then it becomes poison at the end. So either we'll develop some kind of disease or something wrong with our health, right? Then the happiness in ignorance. So this is blind to self-realization. So again, as you know, coming back to our, I keep on coming back to this example. When we, you know, say to someone who is in this mode of ignorance to read Shastra, they don't want to read. They're blind to this whole self-realization part. They just want to live, eat, be merry in this life. And they think all this is all in all. And then the delusion from beginning to end, there's no way that they will want to hear us even. And then it arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion or intoxication. So because of these things, again, as we said, right, we should never judge the person. This is basically, you know, I've heard hate the sin, but not the sinner. So for these kinds of people, we really need to pray for them to come out of this ignorance and somehow they get in touch with some pure devotee where they can be, you know, awakened to the self-realization. I keep on under, you know, going, thinking about this alarm clock, right? When we hear that when we're asleep, the only way to wake us up is by the alarm clock. So a person who's in ignorance, the alarm clock is the hearing from a pure devotee or the association of a pure devotee. So when that happens, that is their alarm clock, which can awaken their dull, you know, sleepiness from their heart. So that is all that I have for the happiness in Sukham, in these modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And that ends the part one of the Bhagavad Gita as it is by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So That is all that I have. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And I'm so sorry if I made some kind of mistake. Please forgive me as your child. I see Sukhakar Krishna Das Prabhu has his hands raised. We can take any kind of discussion now. So please go ahead. And corrections, please make those corrections too.
Hare Krishna Mandir Leela Madhi, fantastic. So much of clarity. And you're going to be a very good speaker. I think you can see Bhakti Sangha is having such good Chinmay Mataji. You are all well trained by, I think, Preeti Vilas Mataji and all the senior devotees. So I remember I met you in Vrindavan with your mother, no? So your accent, everything is superb. You're going to be the best preachers. All the best Mataji. So nice, wonderful.
Thank
it
you so much.
The heart.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'm just repeating. I'm a repeater. Like I'm not, nothing is mine. Thank you so much.
But wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So
please
nice. All the
best. Please give me your blessings. Please give me your blessings. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Matirasti.
Sukha Mataji or
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvar Pranams. So beautiful class and so beautiful slides also. And you explained each and every verse, in so much depth and detail. I just had one question regarding one of the slides, Mataji, which said that, any, was it austerities or which one that you give up due to discomfort is in the mode of passion. So, sometimes we may take up services and, we may fall sick or whatever, due to whatever reasons, we have to give up on that. So is that like still in a mode of passion or?
So no, I mean, it doesn't mean that you ruin your you don't go against. So you have to at least try, right? This is what basically my limited understanding is. You have to try. And then if something is based on your body discomfort. So, I'm talking about people who don't want to wake up in the morning. Because it's, there's nothing wrong with their body, but out of their senses, they feel that it's too cold or something. So to come out of this. But again, if you have some kind of disease, so like sometimes arthritis people have, people who have arthritis, they cannot work nicely in the cold. So if you are, doing this harm to your body, we even yesterday Sukhakar Sureshwar Shyam Prabhuji said, if you are harming your body in some way or another, that is, you're harming your super soul too. So you shouldn't do something to harm your body, but discomfort of body, that is what is, not required. So just out of my discomfort, I don't want to. So it's raining outside and I don't want to go to temple because it's raining outside. So that is the discomfort that what we're referring to, but not something to your body. If you have some health, issues, you do have to take care of your body. And because otherwise your mind will keep on going back to that problem, right? You don't want you, whatever is favorable to Krishna consciousness, you have to do that without being the servant to your mind, if that makes any sense.
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much. Very, very beautiful class and very nice slides also, Mataji. Very nice. Pictures and diagrams you had included, and the tables also. Thanks so much, Mata. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Anybody else has any questions or comments for Mataji or would like to share realizations?
Hare Krishna, Mandri Lila Devi Dasi Mataji. Wonderful, wonderful, very, very nice slides, and which way you explain everything. Your presentation was very nice, and you explain everything in details, how the person who are in mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance, how they do, how they act, and by that also Krishna say what we should do. So by Krishna's answer, we can try to reach the Krishna's desire. So good, Mataji. So good. Thank you very much.
I'm just repeating the words of Prabhupada. So our Blessed Srila Prabhupada.
But last minute you just did these things very nicely. I'm so appreciative to you. So, if nobody have any question, dear devotees, anybody have any question or if
you Krishna or Prabhu, is your hand raised from before?
Yeah, or? Yeah. No, Mandiri Mahadev, can you leave all these pages so that everybody can note down? You know, all this what you made was very good. The point, 3 points you made for each one, goodness, passion. Leave that in the notes so that everybody can share, Mandiri.
I can share the slides. Okay. Yes.
Thank you so much. So wonderful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji ki jai. So humble wisdom to Chaitanya Prabhu. What a beautiful class. It was really beautiful. Really, really wonderful. Very systematically presented. Every section you covered very deeply. And there was a perfect flow from one section to the other. And I love the way you analyze things very practically. Based on what we see in today's life. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving us a complete package of the section of Bhagavad Gita. To me, 18 chapters, the toughest. Somehow, I find it very difficult to understand. I find many things difficult, but this especially. But thank you for making it really simple. It made so much more sense today when I was listening to you, the section of Bhagavad Gita. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for being there on the call, giving us your association, and we are looking forward to more wonderful sessions from you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you very much. Dandavat Pranam. And thank you very much for your very enlightening class and whatever you explain in detail. I love that. And we are very grateful to you and we look forward to your association again in future. If nobody have any question, can we end the call if your permission is there?
Hare Krishna Beta Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Kijaya Kapinath Kijaya. Very, very inspiring class. Please give your association. Mataji, Hari Hari Gauranga.
Hare Krishna. Please keep me in your prayers, Mataji, and give me your blessings. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, you read the chat messages?
Mataji, you said something, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, did we read the chat messages? I asked. Should I?
Oh, chat, I did not.
Okay, I'll read the chat messages. So we have Balabhadra Kripa Prabhu who says very nicely explain every single word and good work with slide. And of course, your mother says it was a very good class. Devati Mataji says this was a beautiful class. Chinmayi Mataji says excellent class with nice PPT. And then we have Neetu Mataji who says it's a beautiful class. And Balabhadra Prabhu says, all glories to the mother too, Yashomati Mataji, who raised her daughter so well. And from Anjani Mataji, we can understand how, you know, this beautiful chapter of Bhagavad Gita. She's been living abroad for so long, but she's imbibed Krishna consciousness so nicely. Induleka Mataji also says it's a beautiful class with neat presentation. And Krishna also says it's an amazing class. And Satyam Prabhuji also says it's a nice class. So you had a lot of watchers and a lot of feedback. So everybody enjoyed the class today, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I am just repeating the words. That's all. So thank you so much, everyone. I tell your blessings, Mataji and everyone.
Your accent was fantastic. Accent, like a foreigner. Tuck, tuck, tuck. Like a foreign girl.
Yeah, she is great here, Prabhu.
Yeah, Mataji.
Thank you.
Remember in Vrindavan, they came running, the mother and daughter. Prabhu, you are coming.
I was so happy to see you, Prabhu. I was so.
Yeah.
I felt like a family. I'm coming to a family. So.
Yes. Radha Damodar Mandir. Radha Damodar Mandir. Yes.
Wonderful. And then Krishna. So Nalki Mataji also says it's a beautiful class. Thank you, Mataji. Yeah. Yes, sure.
Yeah, this is not only by her effort, but by all the devotees' blessings and prayers, she could do this. So please pray more and more, and please give her blessings more and more, so she can more advance in spiritual progress. Mataji, all dear devotees, very, very thanks. So, Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavane Pyo Vaishnave Pyo Namo Namaha. Anantakoti Vaishnavandaki Jai.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to assembled devotees. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.
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 Jai. Gauranga. Nityananda. 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 Gauranga.
Nityananda. Gauranga.
Jai Sri Radhesha.
Jai
Sri Radhesha. Jai Sri Jai.
That was a wonderful session. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
What a class.
Sending the call here. Hare Krishna.
It was a classy class.
Classy class.
Thank you.
Thank you.